It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, and today Tom Simoneau is back with Booker Vineyards. John and Diane are here. Great to see you guys again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thank you.
How do you like our new studio?
Beautiful.
Very nice.
Pretty cool.
Bigger. Huh? Yeah. There's more room for us.
There's more room. Yeah. In fact, Carissa Cruz and the grape growers are making a Lazy Susan with their logo and our logo on it.
Perfect.
So we can put it right in the middle and
pass the wine around.
Yeah.
Pass the cheese around.
The wine and the food around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, okay. I always have to start with the history of our guests. Booker has a fascinating history, and it involves cow poop, which I mentioned earlier. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first off, well, just go ahead and give us the history of the whole thing.
Well, my parents actually immigrated from Switzerland in the early 50s, and worked in the Bay Area, different jobs. My dad, actually, his first job was milking cows in San Jose. And so they worked some different jobs and then purchased the ranch that we're on in December of 1958. So we'll be here in Russian River Valley 60 years this end of this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it's been that long. Well, we got, oh, look, Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn. And by the way, California Wine Country is brought to you by Bottle Barn. All right, let's just get right to the dog poop. The cow poop. I had to pick up my dog's dog poop today, but I'm thinking cow poop here. Explain that whole story because it's fascinating.
Well, Tom, you probably can.
All right, so here's the deal.
Fill that in.
John's dad used to deliver cow manure to Simoneau Vineyards for our garden. Brenda's, of course, a major gardener. And when we first bought the ranch, you know, we were building up our garden areas. We have like three garden areas, winter, summer, and fall. And we were looking for some fertilizer. And I don't know exactly how we found out that John, wasn't your dad?
Joe. Yeah.
Joe. And gave him a call. And sure, boom, all of a sudden one day he drives over with his big old dump truck, backs it in, and drops, a good 10 yards of some of the best Booker Gold is what he called it.
I turned my mic off.
The cow poop.
Booker Gold. Okay.
And it, I'll tell you, grows the best damn tomatoes you could ever get in your life.
Wow.
And so that's how I ran into Booker originally. And then fast forward, you know, another 10 or 15 years, I'm at a tasting over at Longboard where John and Diane are pouring. And Brenda says, hey, you know, I wonder if they still sell that cow manure. And
I love saying the word
so
poop.
Yes, Diane. And Diane says, oh, yeah, sure, you should talk to John. So then I started talking to John, and next thing you know, we're sipping their beautiful rosé, their Chardonnay. And I go, hey, man, we got to do you guys on the radio. You know, because you got to tie it all in with the cow manure. And
yeah.
How many cows do you have on your ranch?
Yeah, we have we milk 700 cows twice a day.
Wow.
And we have another 700 younger animals, the replacement heifers.
You go into the barns with shovels. How do you get the poop?
Well, we have a machine that actually separates the solids from the liquids and which allows it to compost sooner, so we can stack it and handle it and turn it over, and it actually breaks down and into a nice mulch. Especially this time of year when it's warm, it turns
into
the
happy
compost.
Cows. They're all potty trained.
Yeah,
just go right into the little slot and.
Yeah, well, if you put diapers on them, you can make the job even easier. I suppose
it's a pretty elaborate collection system, and we actually we market we actually sell quite a bit. In fact, we sell the majority of our compost to landscape companies to vineyard management companies. A lot of it goes right back into the vineyards, and we use it. I was talking to Tom earlier. We compost it with some pumice from the vineyard, and then let that compost for a year, and then put it back in the vineyard. So we're recycling. We're taking the animals and plants good. It's a good thing. Good combination.
Talk about an allocation list.
No, it's great. Yeah. And Tom was talking to me earlier during a break about this, and I was going, okay, so they delivered 10 yards.
I don't know how much. 10 cubic yards. That's a big.
That's
truck.
That's a lot of poop, right?
That's a big truck, man. And I'll tell you.
I asked him if it smelled, and he said not that bad because it's.
It's aged.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's aged.
Yeah. We all like that.
If it's aged, then it's got to be a reserve.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's Booker Gold. I mean, right. Reserve Booker Gold.
Yeah, there we go.
And we're tasting one of those. No, we're not. This is not Booker Gold.
No, we're not.
It doesn't get into their wines, people.
But this is a beautiful rosé. This is the 2017 rosé of Pinot Noir, Russian River, from Booker Vineyards. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah,
Diane, maybe?
Thanks. Well, I'm going to show you one thing on the bottle. If you look at the back of every bottle, there is a cow on it. So we always remember.
Keep the cows in
there. Leave the cows. This is 100% Pinot Noir. It's all 777 clone. Back up a little bit. Our winemaker is Adam Lee of Siduri Wines.
Right.
He's always been our winemaker since we started the brand.
I didn't know that.
Back in 2011. Yeah, we originally made our wines at Siduri until they were purchased by Jackson Family Wines, and so Adam has still stayed on as our consulting winemaker. So it's a 100% 777 clone, and we age it about 6 months in neutral French oak, so it gives it a little bit more roundness. It still has bright fruit, some kind of cherries and wild strawberries on the nose.
Oh, I'm getting some cherries. Dan Berger, your thoughts?
Really ripe, almost a chewy, almost a light red wine, almost. Because of the way it was treated in the barrels. And the flavors are really delicious. It's got that really nice sort of watermelon aftertaste. It's really pretty wine.
Very complex. Yeah. Long, beautiful. What's the price on this?
$25.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
That's a good one.
Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn. Your thoughts, sir?
Outstanding. We've never carried this one before.
You will now because...
Is it a winery only thing or...
No.
Oh, okay.
We can talk.
We'll be chatting.
Okay. Yeah.
Attention, Bookers.
Yeah.
Mr. Herbst goes out in the hallway after each
Listen, you can't
show
have my spot on the allocation list, though, right. with the Booker Gold.
We won't bump you on that. Although I do have 4 raised beds at home. I could be in the market.
There you go. Exactly.
All right, but you don't need the Booker Gold at Bottle Barn, let's put it that way.
Not currently. We produce enough of that.
John, I was in the Bahamas for a second, but I'm back. Did you explain why, why your dad, Joe, decided to be a poopmeister?
Well, my dad grew up on a farm in Switzerland and a small dairy farm. It's a little different. You know, I think the average size of the herds are probably 20 cows, and they do all their own farming and put up their own hay, so it's pretty self-contained. And, in fact, my cousin is still operating the farm there.
In
Switzerland, yeah, right outside of Lucerne. My great-grandfather started that farm, so we've been there. The Booker family has been there since the late 1800s, so it's been about 125 years.
Wow.
So we've been there. So
nice.
So, yeah, we talk about 60 years here. It's kind of our, you know, we're approaching 60 years into this year, you know, things are. It's pretty amazing how long the longevity of some of the farms in Europe and especially in areas where they have.
Shoot!
Yeah. So,
thankfully, I had put it in the dump bucket, so it didn't do any. No, it didn't spill.
So when my folks came over in the 50s, my dad worked in agriculture. Obviously, that's what he knew, and then. Worked in some other odd jobs in San Francisco Bay Area. He was a handyman on the Seacliff area for a while, and then he actually bought a dairy in Escalon near Modesto, dairied over there for a few years, and then actually traveled up in Sonoma County helping out his boss on a camping trip, and actually camped out at the McMurray Ranch, which is about 5 miles down the road from our place on West Side Road near.
Yeah.
Waller Bridge, and so he remembered that. He just fell in love with that, with the area, and he remembered that when he saw the ad in the paper, you know, that's how he bought property back then. He actually, you know, he dealt with the broker, saw the ads, and he remembered the area. And that's what drew him back here to look at the property and then buy it.
What year was that?
In 1958.
Wow.
Yeah. So started with 50
cows. I don't even want to know what you paid for it. 1958.
Yeah. 25 bucks.
Yeah.
started with 50 cows. Milky bought the land and the existing herd and started with 50 cows and grew it to about 400 cows until I, by the time I came home from college, it was about 400 milking cows. And then we grew it in about through the mid 90s to about 800 cows. And then we have since converted to organic. And we did the organic conversion about in the mid 2000s. And
when did you plant your grapes?
We did the grapes in before organic was on the radar screen. We looked at diversifying because of changes. There were some big changes in the dairy business in the early to mid 90s. Big dairies going in the Central Valley. So I talked to my folks about that we really need to look at something else. And it was really before organic was on the radar screen, as I mentioned. So we planted our first 5 acres in the mid-90s, about 96, and did a few more acres, and by the early 2000s had about 20 acres, and then grew it to about 40 acres, which is what we're at today with the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
I want to ask Tom Simoneau about the rosé, and we're moving on to another to a Chard. Excuse me.
Rosé is about as like as hot as you could possibly be, both sparkling.
Oh, I know.
And you know, just still wine. And this rosé is crisp, delicate, dry. It's like the food wine when we're trying to figure out a pairing with rosé. Everything pairs with rosé. Mm. I mean, pizza. Cheese. I mean, everything pairs with rosé.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah, they,
well, it works.
Might be a little heavy, but it'll work. You can make
not
it work.
Not to me, but.
But you know. I'll tell you, this rosé, this is stunning. We make a nice rosé at Simoneau, but this one is right there with mine.
Thank you. Yeah. That's great to hear. Yeah. We pick it really low sugars. It's about 13.3% alcohol. So it's made in the French tradition.
So it's made to be a rosé. Picked to be a rosé. No sommelier there.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to interrupt here. But first off, I want to remind everyone, including Christopher DiMatteo in Los Angeles, who's our main guy down there. It's Bucher, B-U-C-H-E-R, Bucher dot wine. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
That's our new URL.
Dot wine? I've never heard of that. That's great.
What do we have here? We have this is the unoaked Chardonnay that we're serving.
we're talking about the White House press corps here. Forget the wine segment. But it kind of relates between the cow poop and the White House.
There you go, man.
All right, go ahead. Leave me alone.
I'm getting late.
So the newest wine we've got on the table here in our fancy new studios, which still has that new car smell.
Smell,
it's got it, man. The Bucher 2017 Chardonnay unoaked, again, Russian River Valley. Is everything you make estate?
It is, yeah.
So everything is estate. So grown right there.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the wine, how much wine do you make, number of cases?
Yeah, we still sell. We sell to about 15 different wineries still. But we take in about 15% for our own use.
Right, and
about 1,300 cases total.
1,300 cases.
Yeah.
So tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Yeah.
So you should get in on this before it is allocated like their Bucher Gold, which I'm so happy that Brenda and I are on that allocation list.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have been since 19.
Once again, he's talking cow poop, folks.
So here we are with the
transitioning back and forth.
No, the unoaked Chardonnays are really popular because a lot of the pendulum, wouldn't you say, Dan, is swinging back toward the less heavy, less lees stirred, heavy oaked Chardonnays with a higher alcohol.
I think it becomes
and
almost a
as
second
well.
Wine. Chardonnay is two wines that way. Without the oak, it doesn't have the same sort of creamy, almost buttery characteristics. And in this case, you got some really bright citrusy fruit. It goes really great as an aperitif, but it also works with some lighter foods. And the oak style is a whole different ball. You have another one here that
we
has
do.
The traditional oak in it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm getting more people asking for it. I'm considering setting up a separate section of Chardonnay.
It's not become that popular.
Now. Yeah, I've probably got 15, 16 in the store right now. And there's just a certain number of people that don't want any oak at all anymore. They're just done with it. But
I'm one of them, basically, because I started, as I've said before, Chardonnay really intrigued me about 10, 11 years ago. And At first, I was looking at the, I want the buttery. Mm-hmm. I want as much butter as I can get. And now I've gone the opposite way, and well, I like the drier.
Yeah, well, Chardonnay is kind of like the tofu of grapes, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Whatever you put in it or on it or around it or cook it in, the tofu will take up the flavor. And the mm-hmm. same thing with Chardonnay. If it's going to be in oak barrels, which oak is going to make a difference, which yeast you're going to use, I mean, it just gloms onto the flavors of everything you do to it during the vinification. Mm-hmm. So having an un-oaked Chardonnay, you really get the flavor of the vineyard. And how many different clones do you think you have on this?
Actually, this is the first year we went 100% Wente clone with this, which I really like.
Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, the Wente clone I think it was propagated in Livermore with at the Wente Winery, and it's the clusters are relatively small, and the berries are relatively small in size too. So you get a much higher skin to in the white wine you don't get the. But you just get that real concentration.
They're tiny little clusters compared to like Clone 4, which is like, you know, Thompson Seedless compared to that. Yeah. And the Wente clone is what the Robert Young clone came from. So mm-hmm. the Wente clone was like the original. And the people who originally planted a lot of that Wente, there's some older vines out there with the old Wente clone. So it's...
Oh, they're still going 100 plus years old out in...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is here. Tom Simoneau is in this week, along with, of course, my co-host every week, Dan Berger.
Wow.
And John Bucher and Diane Bucher are here from Bucher Vineyards. I love this. It's Bucher.wine. When did this...
That's the first I heard of it. Yeah. It was yesterday when I was trying to email these guys.
We're just so cutting edge. It's crazy.
That's it, man. Yeah.
It's just
the allocation list for the Bucher Gold and
Dot Wine. Yeah.
Bucher Gold.
It's always kind
innovative,
of fine.
Cutting edge.
It's always right. We're always trying to kind of fine tune things as we go along, improving packaging. You know, looking at corks, looking at different foils, all kinds of things. And every year we just kind of go after something. So this year we just decided that was a way to go. It was very clean. We were at Bucher Vineyard, and that was a little confusing because.
Hey, Mike, can we get Drive Dot Wine? We have to take a break. This is a great segment here. Again, you can catch every California Wine Country segment online. It's all up there, and you can go to any place that great podcasts are available, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and ask you to subscribe to the podcast. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, and Tom Simoneau's in today with Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. And our guests are John and Diane Bucher. And it is Bucher.wine. I'm enamored by this. This is really cool. It's a new, whatever you call it, HRL?
URL.
URL.
Yeah.
HMS? I don't know.
Pinafore. Pinafore.
It's Bucher. And Chris DiMatteo from L.A. has just texted me again saying, don't go to VicarioProductions.com. You can, and you should, which is our production company. But and there's a link there. But I mentioned all the other ways you can access our podcasts of California Wine Country. And one of them is calwinecountry.com. C-A-L, calwinecountry.com.
That's where I go.
Because I was born Stephen Vicario, and I still can't always spell my last name.
To get to the other website.
Yeah, I just go to Cal Wine Country. Okay. I just want to talk about the White House and stuff.
When we're talking about Spitzer's favorite wine, Chardonnay.
Wine preferences.
Yeah. I think we should talk about white wine.
Spitzer.
Not White House.
Isn't it Spitzer? What's his name?
Sean Spicer. Spicer.
Whatever. You know.
Elliot Spicer.
You know what? I stopped watching the political shows about 5 years ago.
Yeah, I cannot.
I know. You get this thing going on.
Yeah, okay.
But right, I always make sure I read these labels. And this 15 Chardonnay, Rio Oro. Now, Diane, can you tell us a little bit, what is Rio Oro?
Well, Rio Oro is the River of Gold, and we're very close to the Russian River where we are. We're on West Side Road in Healdsburg, in the Middle Reach region of the Little Reach neighborhood of the Russian River Valley. And we overlook the river from our property, and we just thought it was kind of a nice name.
It's a beautiful Chardonnay. The unoaked was a 17. This is a 15. And this shows you why Dan Berger is called Dan Lay It Down Berger. Mm-hmm. Because it's great it'll be even better when?
3 years at least. This wine's got such great acidity. And the thing about it was we got it cold. It was really brisk and bright when it was cold. But as it's getting up to temperature here, you're starting to see all these nuances of flavor. And what's really nice is the malolactic was only 50%. So therefore, the wine didn't lose any of its bright acidity. It's really terrific acidity.
You know, is that unusual for a Russian River Chardonnay to only go through 50 ml?
You know yourself that if you don't do 100%, then you're running the risk of some re-fermentation. So this wine has got such wonderful low acidity, low pH, that the wine's pH is going to keep it from going any further. It's going to be beautifully balanced. Once it gets another year to 3 years in the bottle, it's just wonderful.
Because most of the time when you go through malolactic, it's to lower the acid, you know, because mm-hmm. you've got, you know, get a creamy, buttery character.
Right.
So most of the cool region Chardonnays go through 100% ml. But this one, you sterile filter it, obviously, to get rid of the... any chance of it re-fermenting, but it's delicious, and it's going to get better and better. What do you think, Perry?
Yeah, as it warmed up, I totally agree. It's gaining length and gaining mouthfeel. But still a few years in the bottle.
This is an example of why some people call Chardonnay a red wine with no color.
Yeah, that's right.
Great
body.
Wine.
Really?
Great body. Yeah.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before, and it's, you know, it's hard to get my head around that, but, you know. What do I know?
Now, before we get into
I'm a guy who, you know, and let me ask you this, Dan. My wine cellar is the trunk of my car, and I live a mile and a half from here. So
basically...
Is that enough aging?
Yeah, I would say about 93...
10 minutes?
93 round trips, you'll be fine.
All right, go
now,
ahead.
Are we going to get into what you brought, Barry, for a quick minute or two?
Yeah, and then we're going into some Booker red wine.
We got three Pinots,
Three Pinots, okay. So what's on special this week at Bottle Barn, sir?
The first one, pretty well-known local Dry Creek guy, Saini, Sauvignon Blanc, kind of a fun summery wine.
Is why we're getting a lazy Susan.
So we made a nice buy on this wine. I think MSRP on this is usually around $20. And we got it down to $10.99.
Wow.
And it's pretty classic, Dry Creek. You know, this is where most of our customers' favorite Sauvignon Blancs come from, this general area.
Holy Booger Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have any Booker Gold in Dry Creek.
No, I can't say the S word, so I'm saying holy Booker Gold.
Got it.
Tough to beat for $10. It's got that classic
beautiful flavors. It's screw capped, so it's retarded. So it needs a little bit of air. If you take this out of the bottle and put it in the decanter for about an hour, this will be fabulous.
Or do the thumb over the top and
there
shake
we go.
Like
just
I
shake it.
I don't have
there you go. You know, a lot of people don't think about decanting white wine.
In this case, you're missing some of that Dry Creek Valley grassy component. It's in there, but you just don't smell it just yet. It'll be there in about an hour and a half, but it better to decant it and get it out sooner.
Okay, now wait a minute. I like Sauvignon Blanc since Ben Pearson turned me onto it years ago. I don't like this.
Not your cup of tea, huh?
No. Cup of meat is what I always say.
Is there a certain component? Is the grassy component too strong or
not strong enough, maybe?
It's halfway between drinkable and not yet drinkable. So
it
just needs a little bit
young
of time.
Tasting. It's a 16.
But for 10 bucks or whatever, hell yeah. And
you know, the nice thing about Sauvignon Blanc, too, it goes so well with food. Mm-hmm. So here we are having it after Chardonnay, where your mouth is kind of kind of seeing that opulent character.
Yeah, that has something to do with it.
Now you get this high acid.
Yeah.
And Cyanes are.
Try it with Humboldt Fog.
Yeah, there you go.
With the Humboldt Fog, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And this is warmer than most people would probably serve it at. You know, the drive from Bottle Barn to here probably brought it up about 5 degrees today. So it's not ice cold.
It's that trunk thing again, Jackson.
Just to put another point on it, I love it. I think it's delicious, especially for the price.
We've been flying through it. We bought 100 cases. I think we're through half of it already. So,
wow.
It's been a real good buy for us.
And it's on special again at basically half price at Bottle Bar.
$10.99.
Yeah. Second one is from Chile, which is the last place you can find affordable Cabernet Sauvignon.
What region of Chile is it?
I think it's Mayo. My glasses are on. Yeah, Mayo Andes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
This is a fairly small producer.
I love
by
how it gets
standards.
Silent in here when there's pouring going on.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Barry?
Relatively small producer named Perez Cruz. This is his reserve of bottling of Cabernet. And again, I think the standard price on retail on this was in the 25 range, 20-25. We made a big buy on it because the staff really liked it in our weekly tasting. And we've got it down to $10.99.
That's halfway between Alexander Valley and Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of both, and it's a lovely wine.
I like it.
Very soft, rich.
And it was in his car on the way here where it's 150 degrees.
Yeah, it's a little bit warm. You're right.
Yeah, it is a bit
warm. I drop
warm.
An ice cube in. This is for me.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that you can do that.
Yeah.
When you're paying $10.99, it's not like you're buying Mouton Rothschild.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I even recommended it in my column last week with a funny part of it. How about taking a bottle of Barefoot Pinot Noir, put an ice cube in it, and drink it like rosé?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Really? Very nice, Perry. Thank you for bringing
that. Was your Press Democrat thing last week? I missed it last week.
Yeah,
I like it.
Even a few degrees with these red wines do make a big difference. You know, the alcohol starts coming out if it gets hot, and you're not really getting the full
This time of year, my reds are in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, they go like, oh, it's a little too cold? Well, that's what your hands are for.
So, yeah. Barry,
put your hands around the belt.
How much is this at Bottle Barn? Because it's delicious.
$10.99.
Wow. Impossible.
Yeah.
That is a fabulous buy.
Can't find Cabernet anymore domestically for less than
that
$25
is
or $30.
Just marvelous wine.
That doesn't have a grocery store appeal to it.
LID, which is lay it down. Mr. Berger, what would you do with this when you take this on?
Well, first of all, this is a wine made in a style that's really drinkable, so you could drink it right away. If you were to hold on to it, I think another year to 2 years would benefit it, but the best thing to do would be to decant this right away. As soon as you get it home, put it in a decanter, let it open up. In an hour or two, it's going to be fabulous.
Right where you want it.
That kind of money? Are you kidding? That's a joke.
Yeah, I've asked you this before over the years. If you don't have a decanter, I don't.
Oh, but just put it in a jar.
Water pitchers.
A pitcher or anything. Just open it up. Get a lot of air into it. There have been times when Barry has actually put his thumb over the bottle and shaken it up.
Yeah, what's the deal with that, Barry?
Get air into it.
Yeah, if the wine's reduced or if there's sulfur or something like that, you want to blow off, and it just kind of accelerates the aeration process because, you know, it's a small
shake
hole.
Shake it up. Whenever I dump a really young, big, rich red in a wine decanter, and I usually use a 1.5-liter decanter, and I'll tip that baby right upside down and let it splash into the bottom just to get some air. And
but people go like, "Geez, thumb over the
well,
top
same
of the
idea,
bottle.
Except you didn't have just a decanter with you.
Pushing air into it, forcing the air through the wine.
You get a water jug, a big canning jar. I mean, anything can be a decanter.
How about my dog's dish?
No.
Okay.
It's too wide a mouth. So the next Pinot that we've got is from Bucher, and it is, here's Jackson. Which one is this?
This is our 2015 Bucher Vineyard Designate. And what we do with this wine, we actually make three Pinot Noirs. We have this, the Bucher Vineyard Designate, our Pommard clone, and our Barrel Reserve called the 360. We source from about 10 different blocks in our vineyard. Vineyard's about 36 acres of Pinot Noir. This actually is 7 clones from 10 different blocks.
Wow.
So we're really able – we have a great luxury of working with Adam. We can blend these wines for aromatics, mouthfeel, flavors, finish. It's really fun.
So you pick the blocks separately?
Yes.
And then, and so you ferment them separately?
Ferment everything separately.
Is everything open top fermented, like a 4x4, or what do you?
Most of it, Most open top fermented.
Right. Yeah. So, Jackson, here's a classic. You just smelled this wine, right? And Barry brought the 1099 wine.
I was going to ask you guys, Dan and you, about the smell. I can't nail it, but it's unbelievably wonderful.
Here's the difference.
Forest floor.
The difference.
After a rainfall.
We had the 1099 Reserva from Chile. Mm-hmm. Very nice wine, right? $10. $20 list, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. So now when you smell that wine, it was nice. It was good. But when you smell a more classy, sophisticated, more expensive, more elegant wine that's using much more expensive oak, you notice the difference immediately.
It's clear what you're paying.
There's a little bit of smoke in the aroma,
exactly.
But more than that, you're getting that. Not only is it a smoke component, but also that forest floor, a little bit of dried leaves and dried herbs. It's almost like a tomato leaf component, which is really
That's good.
It's delicious. Wine.
Just layers and layers
of things. Is that kind of leaning toward like Oregon or Bordeaux? I mean, Burgundy.
I think it's more like bone in mm-hmm. Burgundy. Not mm-hmm. it's not Cote de Nuit because the Cote de Nuit tends to be heavier and richer and darker. Mm-hmm. These wines tend to be more elegant, and this wine is just pure elegance in a bottle.
Wow, cherries too, big cherries.
Now I'm seeing, that is really great.
And we have most wineries I sell grapes to. They'll source from two or three sites in the vineyard, and we, like Diane said, we have probably the most representative of our vineyard having sourced from. Seven clones.
So a little from here, a little from there, a little from there.
So it's probably the most representative of our vineyard as a whole, and really kind of a classic Russian River with that red fruit driven, especially Middle Reach, the northern part of the Russian River Valley where it's warmer, fruit's a little more opulent, a little riper. Get that.
So when you're flagging these things down, obviously you know where your favorite spots are. How do you get the pickers? You go like, okay, today we're going to pick. Just this little spot. Then we're going to go over here and pick over here a little spot.
Well, what I do is I have all the rows in the vineyard. All the different blocks are marked with numbers, and so we break it down by row number. And so we have our rows in this block, and William Sullivan has their rows in their block, and that's how we break it down. So everyone knows where their fruit is, and everyone go and sample, and everyone knows what they're getting, and then we harvest that, ferment it separately. And then do our blends in the winery later on.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. We still have, two Pinots?
Two more Pinots.
That our experts need to taste. California Wine Country on KSRO. On the drive, our guests today are John and Diane Bucher. It's Bucher.wine. And I can't, I'll shut up, but I just think that's the coolest thing.
I love it. I love it too. It's
you guys
very
made
cool.
it happen. That's so cool.
Introducing Jackson to something new. It's, you know,
yeah,
you might
easy.
Even remember it in the next week or two.
Yeah. I'm amazed.
Probably
I
not.
Remember it right now. But
so we have one more thing we really want to talk about, along with these other two wines, is Diane. Where are you guys making your wine? Because you guys are tiny, and you're making your wine without having a winery.
Correct. We custom crush. We're moving into a brand new facility in Windsor called Grand Cru Custom Crush. It's on American Way. It's about a block south of where they're constructing the new Russian River Brewing Company there.
Convenient.
And it's just a great state-of-the-art facility. It's about 30,000 square feet. There's a number of small producers in there. Everything's just perfectly sized for small lot, like what we do. As we mentioned, we're, you know, pulling from that Bucher Vineyard from 10 different sites in the vineyard. So we have, you know, the 10 little tiny fermenters. And then they're really also focusing on supporting the hospitality and that kind of customer interaction. So the guests can either go to the Grand Cru website or our website and just click on, you know, make a visit and then be able to schedule something. And then we'll arrive and pour the wines.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Because a small winery, right, like we have an AP, you have an AP.
Right.
Alternating premise.
Explain that quickly.
It's where you can make wine at somebody's winery. You're actually bonded, but you don't own the winery. You're renting a space. Well, normally you don't have the right to pour at that tasting
room.
You
can't have a tasting
room. Or in the winery. You don't have a tasting room. So this new concept gives you the ability to have pouring going on
right.
at the facility.
Yeah, there's five separate tasting rooms that we can our guests can reserve, as well as the other wineries that make their wine there. So it's pretty innovative, really neat facility. We're real excited about being there.
And you're hands-on there, right?
We are,
right.
absolutely. We do larger events there, too. We can do pickup events there. We can do winemaker dinners. We can have Adam come in and do a winemaker dinner some evening. So,
like our open house.
Like our open house on
Which
July
is?
7th. It's July 7th.
Yeah.
So you, if you want to come, you have to email me at diane@booker.wine, and I will send you an invitation. But do not please just show up. You have to have an invitation.
So. Unless you're Steve Jackson.
Yeah,
right.
you can show up, Steve.
Steve.
That's fine.
It's BUCHER.wine. Check them out. They do such great stuff. And, Tom, thanks for bringing our friends back in, both of you, Diane and John Booker. Again, BUCHER.wine.
How about that?
That is so there cool. Dan, what do we got next week? Any thoughts?
St. Francis Winery.
Oh, we love St. Francis.
Coming in next week with Chris Loudon, the winemaker. It's going to be fun.
Very cool. You guys, anything else you want to?
I want to just say that we're going to be pouring at a number of events coming up, including the Christopher Silva SRJC Wine Classic, along with
St. Francis. There.
Exactly.
Right on. It wasn't a coincidence.
No. That's great to talk about it. So Sunday, July 8th at the Brito Culinary Arts Center. And then we have several other events that you can find on our website. But we're really excited about partnering up with the Christopher Silva Wine Classic.
And can people sign up to get on your allocation list by going to your website?
Yes, absolutely.
So
booker.wine, or you can email me directly at diane@booker.wine.
Or if you go there and you see the phone number you call, John picks up.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a guy.
Yeah.
For real business.
B-U-C-H-E-R. Booker Farms, booker.wine, and they have the greatest cow poop in the
I'm telling you,
area.
Man, I can't wait to taste my new tomatoes.
Yeah, which list do you get on, the cow poo list or the wine?
I think the allocation
can you be on
list.
Both?
I don't know. Do you have any? It's like I heard there's a 6-month wait on that.
Yeah.
There's
a couple people I want to mess with here in the building. Can you guys dump?
Deliver.
10 yards of cow poop in the parking lot?
There's no waste. You don't waste this stuff.
Yeah, it's too good.
That's commercial stuff. You get that from Central Valley.
The amazing
you
got
to be on the allocation list, Steve.
Yeah, so. Come on. Diane and John Booker from Booker.wine, B-U-C-H-E-R. It's all brought to you by Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer. And check out all their specials. Tom Simino, always a pleasure.
Rosé tasting.
I'm just drinking.
I turned over to Dan Berger. And
L-I-D.
Like,
I'm just L-I-D, right? Got it. Okay.
Wait a minute.
I'm drinking.
Rosé tasting. Can I mention that briefly?
Oh, yeah. How much time?
36.
36.
June 21, it's sold out, but get on our insider list because we're following it up with a Pinot tasting, and hopefully Booker will be there again this year like they were last year.
All right, we'll talk about that next week too, right?
Yep.
All right, kids, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Great to see you. Great to see everybody.
Adios.
Take care.
Have a great Wednesday night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive.
Au revoir.